If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Chicago Bulls roster is mostly in its finalized form. We're still waiting to see what's going to happen with Josh Giddey and his contract with the Chicago Bulls. On today's episode, I want to talk about which one of the Chicago Bulls players are going to find themselves outside looking in on the rotation this year. We'll talk about all that, plus dive into the mailbag and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host, Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content today, y'all. I want to talk about this. Who's going to find themselves on the outside looking in on the rotation for the Chicago Bulls? Now, I think that that's something that, you know, we touched on a little bit before. And, of course, this conversation is going to be assuming that Josh Giddey does re-sign with the Bulls. If he does not, then you take a whole different look on it, right? I think we've talked about, like, who's going to start over certain players. But really, who's going to have to fight just for the spots? And the reason why I ask is because typically Billy Donovan runs an 8 to 9 man rotation. And even if he does run more than a nine man rotation, it's like a 10th guy that plays very inconsistent minutes usually for Billy Donovan. And so I want to go over this and see how you guys feel about it down below. Please sound off at any point in time to let me know if you guys think anybody's going to be in or out of the rotation that maybe I don't think. Let me know what you guys think on that. But okay, so let's start looking at the starters, right? Assuming Josh Giddey does re-sign with the Bulls, you got Giddey, Kobe, Herter, Modest, and Vooch. And the reason why I went ahead and locked in Herter as a starter, I do think that I even think Isaac Okoro could come in and win the starting position with the defense that he brings. I think those two players have a chance to win the starting position, but I'm just using it just because I'm using the starters that we finished the season off with last year, because those starters basically went on a pretty nice run, and typically you return those same starters unless somebody steps up. Now, Io was not healthy at the end of last year, but that's why I have those guys as a starter. Not saying that I can't see somebody else starting at the three. I absolutely could. But as of right now, Josh Giddey, Kobe White, Kevin Herter, Modest Muzelis, Nikola Vucevic. Those are your five players. All five are returning from last year. They finished the season as your starters. Then when you look at the bench rotation, Trae Young, Zach Collins, I think, are locks, as Trae Young's really the only other point guard, right? A straight-up point guard. Io's a combo guard, but we're going to talk about him in a second. But Trae Jones and Zach Collins, I think these two guys are going to be in the rotation, absolutely. I think that Billy Donovan, Jalen Smith kind of fell out of the rotation last year. We clearly saw that he kind of preferred Zach Collins in those opportunities once we did acquire Zach Collins. So I think Trae Jones, Zach Collins, they're locks for sure. Then I think you have Io DeSumo and Isaac Okoro as the two players that bring defense and consistent offense, right? Isaac Okoro is a pretty decent three-point shooter, pretty decent cutter to the rim as well. Io DeSumo is pretty decently in those places. And while there's some overlap in their skill set, I think that's actually good, because they can play at either the two or the three, and you can interchange them there, right? So that's kind of the rotation that I have kind of shaped up there. Now, one of the things that's missing in that rotation is a player that can play the four, which that's when it gets to the players that are going to be fighting for a spot. And I think that a lot of those minutes are going to go to the primary backup four and a player that's going to play some three as well, as Io and Okoro can play the two or the three. Isaac Okoro's even played some four over his career as well. Matter of fact, over the last 2 years of his career, I think he hasn't played any guard at all. It's been mainly the three and the four. But that leaves you with Julian Phillips, towards the end of last season, was getting off the bench before P. Will, even though P. Will still finished most of those games with more minutes than him. But Julian Phillips was the first guy to come off the bench. So you have Julian Phillips, P. Will, Dalen Terry, Jalen Smith. You have four guys basically fighting over one spot in the rotation. And that is going to be the interesting part of this, because you can make a case for any of these guys. P. Will is a guy that, as long as he's on this roster and getting paid, he's probably going to be given a pretty large opportunity. This is what it is. Right now, we did hear earlier in the offseason, the Bulls have now kind of moved on in mind from P. Will, basically saying it's all on P. Will, right? It's just, we feel like we've done everything we can to develop him. It's all on P. Will, right? And keep in mind, I didn't even mention Noah Essengay in that, which is another player in there that if Noah Essengay comes into this training camp, and I think if he really shows that his defense, the defense getting out in transition are very consistent, I think he can compete with those guys for minutes too. So you're looking at P. Will, Julian Phillips, Noah Essengay. That's three guys fighting over one spot and not a lot of minutes in that spot. And so that's what it comes down to, what I think those guys are going to have to really, really come into training camp locked in. And Julian is a guy that I do think has a little bit of a leg up. He's defensively solid. He made some big steps as far as the corner three last year. I think he can also, as a player that can also thrive in getting out in transition. But P. Will, again, if P. Will comes in and he's kind of more like he was defensively his first 2 years in the league, rather than the slide we've seen him at over the last couple of years, he's going to have a nice chance at that as well with his three-point shooting that he can bring. The problem with P. Will is that even in years where he's been, you know, a high three-point shooter percentage-wise, it wasn't on high volume, but none of these guys have done that. So I want to be clear there, none of those guys. I'm just saying that for anybody who's like, well Hayes, but P. Will's been an almost 40% three-point shooter. It's like, yeah, but the volume wasn't amazing, so I could see maybe why, you know, that like the year he was a 41% three-point shooter, he was taking three-pointers per game. He was 39 the year after that, taking 3.4 again. So you're talking about him making 1.4 three-pointers per game. I don't know how much that changes for him, right? Like, it puts him ahead of the other players. Again, that's just me having this conversation. Love to hear from you guys on it. I'm not saying it like it's the end-all be-all. Like, I have the answers. We're having a conversation. I'm just the only one that's hosting this show. But then that also leaves Dalen Terry and Jalen Smith on the outskirts as well. Now, the ball-headed hoe Javon Carter, he's not really in the rotation at all. He averaged, what, like 8.8 minutes over like 30-some games last year. So I'm not really worried about Javon Carter really being deeply into the Bulls rotation at all. We know we don't use a lot of our two-way players consistently either, so there's that part of it, too, that you want to factor in. So the Bulls rotation is going to have somebody on the outside looking in. Now, when you look at the way that Billy Donovan is typically coached, the rookie's probably going to be the guy, at least at the start of the season, on the outskirts. So, no, Essengay is probably not going to factor hugely into the Chicago Bulls rotation right away. If he does, that means he came into training camp ready. And if Noah Essengay is getting double-digit minutes to start off his rookie year, that means that he came in and he had to outplay Julian and P. Will a little bit, and Dalen, for that matter, in training camp. And maybe there's a chance of that, right? So somebody's going to be out. And I think that the players that are going to be out of the rotation, that you could make a case that they actually probably deserve some minutes. Like, Dalen Terry, for what it's worth, really did start looking like an NBA player to the end of last season. Patrick Williams has been a player who's been a starter. Like, at least whatever negative you can say about P. Will, the one thing that you can say about him is that he's consistently going to get you 9 to 10 points and hopefully get back to playing solid defense. Julian Phillips is the upside guy, right? Right along with Noah Essengay. Julian Phillips still has really good upside as a player that came in raw in the second round, and he started looking better at times last year as well. He had his moments where he played pretty solidly. And like I said, you saw at times last year where Billy Donovan went to Julian Phillips to come off the bench first. I mean, you look at him, he got 5 more minutes per game post All-Star break. Now, we had injuries over that. Io was gone, things like that, but I do think that says a little bit of something, but it's not like Julian Phillips' averages have been crazy either to really kind of dictate that. He's a career 44% shooter from the field last year, 44.6%, and 32% from three-point range, only taking less than 2 three-pointers per game. But he is a guy that offers some upside in the defense and transition, getting out to those passing lanes. You know, he came in as a shot blocker, but he hasn't really been that really much for the Bulls quite yet. So it really comes down to that. And all these guys, too, are fairly young guys. P. Will, still young. Julian Phillips, young. Dalen Terry, young. Jalen Smith can even be considered a young player still as well, even though he's been in the league a little bit. And Noah Essengay, he's the second youngest player in this draft. So you have your young guy there. And I think that part of the rotation is going to be important to the Bulls and really say a lot about how the Bulls view some of these younger players on this roster. But hey, I mean, we could very well see it. And like I said, I'm not counting out Noah Essengay of having a chance to come in there and actually earn some rotational minutes for the Bulls. I'm not putting it out. Seeing him in summer league and seeing what he excelled at, I had a whole video on it. I can see how that could help the Bulls right away. Again, not necessarily saying that they're going to do it, But I'm just saying that I can see where it could help the Bulls right away. If Noah's really locked in and excels at training camp, but more than likely he's probably going to spend some time down in the G League over the first month or so of the season. So, but let me know what you guys think on that down below. When you look at this Bulls roster as it stands right now, who do you see out of the rotation? And don't come with the biased takes just because, like, you don't like Josh Giddey. You come with something like Yuki Carr-Moore should be ahead of Josh Giddey. Let's not do that, right? But it realistically, based off what this team has done, knowing the coach and Billy Donovan, and just how you view things, who do you think is going to fall out of the rotation? Like I said, we already know Javon Carter is not going to be in that rotation. Don't even waste your seconds in your life typing out Javon Carter. We know he's really not going to be in the rotation unless things have really gone wrong. But I think one thing that this highlights as well is that there's a lot of young players on this Bulls team that are trying to take a step and are going to be trying to fight and show that they deserve to get some minutes on this team. I mean, you got Noah Essengay, 18, Julian Phillips, 21, Dalen Terry, 23, right? That's going to be fighting for this. Patrick Williams, also 23, that's going to be fighting for a spot in this rotation for the Chicago Bulls. So, you know, we'll see what's going to happen there. But let me know your guys' thoughts on that down below. All right, let's go ahead and get into the mailbag today. As you guys know, it's always mailbag Sundays here at Chicago Bulls Central. It's my time to be able to interact with you guys. You guys also to get your thoughts and ideas on the show. This first voicemail that we have, this one's from Corn.
What's the word, King Drip? It's your brother Corn, man. Hey, man, let's get right into it, man. Let's bring Yuki Carr-Moore to the motherfucking front center, please. Congratulations, young man. Welcome to the squad, man. G League, man. Hey, shout out to him, man. I'm a fan. And let me tell y'all something. I'm fixing to turn into a nerd real quick. You know, so I'm fixing to turn into a nerd. You know, some don't know I am a diehard anime fan. I love anime. I love watching anime. I watch all types, whatever. When I see Yuki Carr-Moore, who? Now, these for my anime fans, you know what I'm saying? If you know, you know. If you know, you know. He is Kuroku. Kuroku basketball. If you ever seen that anime and you see Yuki Carr-Moore, who, you understand exactly what I mean. He is Kuroku basketball, man. He is a true point guard, man. I love it. I love to see the pass first player. And like you said, he fits the system with the G League coming in so they can develop. So when they do come up to the big leagues and hoop with Josh Giddey, it's no dip off, you know? You can run the same systems, you know? And I'm just so happy for that kid, man. Two-way contract, sad for Jameer Young, you know? After he went off for that 40-pointer, I thought he was gonna stay, man. I thought he was gonna, you know, because he was lighting it up there. But like you said, he'll go somewhere. And good luck to that king, man. But this is about Yuki. Shout out to him, man. I hope one day we see him come up, man. I hope he'll hit the 10-man rotation one day. You know, only time will tell. But right now, I'm excited. Yuki, shout out to you. Keep on hooping, man. Just keep on doing you, man. Like I said, man, you made us fans. And once you got us as fans, hey, man, we always going to be with you. You always going to be a Bull to us. So shout out to Yuki. Congratulations. AC Red, please, blessings. King Drip, love you, brother. Peace.
Yuki Carr-Moore signed. Yeah, I mean, I love the fact that we signed Yuki. And the thing that I say is that when players earn an opportunity, regardless of whatever, it's going to be it, like you can't be mad at them getting the opportunity. He earned it by the way that he played out through Summer League. 32 assists over 5 games in Summer League. Nobody's ever done that. So, you know, and again, it's not that, and you know, you have the people that are naysayers like, oh my God, this isn't a signing that's going to make the Bulls a playoff. Every signing isn't about being a playoff team. This is a two-way contract signing. This means him's coming over to the G League. It is what it is. Like, that's what happened here. So, You know, and you know, he's going to come in, and I do clearly see how he's going to help players evolve, and you can't really be mad at that. Now, as far as Jameer Young, here's the thing. Jameer Young was made expendable because the Bulls have Javon Freeman Liberty, and that's just the way that I look at it, is that, you know, Jameer Young is primarily a scorer. What is Javon Freeman Liberty? Primarily a scorer. So I think when you have a couple of those guys on your roster, and you're looking at bringing in something that you don't have as far as high-level playmaking, you're going to cut one of those guys. Now, you know, and Javon Freeman Liberty, keep in mind, not only is he from Chicago, outside of the year that he left to go to Toronto, he's been here in the Bulls system for years, so they're familiar with him. And I think that kind of played a part into a little bit of politics in that. And, you know, that happens over time. But I think those are things that played into that and why it went down the way that it did, if that makes sense. All right, let's get into the next one, man. This next voicemail, man, this one's from Kept, I believe is what he said his name is.
Hey, what's up, Hayes? Hey, this is Kept.
When it comes to home insurance, Geico works for you. And since I'm the Geico Gecko, I work for you too.
Hey, Gecko, could you DJ my workout?
I got you, Derek. I know you like them sweet beats on leg day. Great home gym, by the way.
That's fire, Gecko.
I call this remix. Bundle your home and car insurance so you can save and get coverage that grows with you.
Oh, yeah. Rolls right off the tongue. And you know what else I like?
Air horn.
Aw, oh, yeah.
Let Geico work for you. Get more with Geico.
Hey, I tried to tell you that the Bulls is making a mistake by playing hardball with Giddy. Now they're going to mess around and lose him. See, the problem is they receive so much crap from the Pete Will deal. And now they're trying to impress the Bulls fan by playing hardball with somebody that they shouldn't be trying to play hardball with. The whole thing is that they say that the Bulls have an identity by playing fast. But who's the key to playing fast? Josh Giddey. So you lose him, you lose your whole identity. So they're trying to build an up-tempo team. So technically, you are building around Josh Giddey. But they need to just bite the bullet, pay the man his money, and be done with this. All right, peace.
Okay, I highly doubt that it has anything to do with appeasing the fans. I don't think that the Bulls are going into this Josh Giddey negotiation and thinking, man, we got to show those fans that we actually know how to negotiate. I think that they're actually playing it smart. Like, I get it. Like, I've been somebody that said, I can see why Josh Giddey and his camp is asking for the $30 million. I absolutely can see why they're doing that. Now, on the flip side of that, though, is that I can also see the Bulls in a market where there aren't a lot of teams that have the money to pay you while I'm going to actually negotiate with you. I think that's just what it is. They are taking a calculated risk. They have he's a restricted free agent. They have the right to match any contract offer that he gets. So because of that, it gives them an ability to play a little bit more hardball. And not to say that I don't understand where you're coming from, too, but I just think that it's not at the place where they're really at a huge risk to lose him. Now, if he takes the qualifying offer, if Josh Giddey wakes up to Monday and says, you know what, fuck all this. I'm taking the qualifying offer. Y'all got me fucked up. It is what it is. I can also understand that from Josh Giddey's point. So I think that this is a negotiation. And when you actually negotiate the way that you're supposed to, it can get a little bit attention there. But I think overall, like, Josh Giddey's going to be here. I think that that's still the most likely scenario by how things are going now. He's going to be here. And we'll figure it the hell out. That's what I think. And I guess we'll see if that ends up being what actually happens here. All right. But let's get into the next one, man. This one's from Nev.
Hey, this is Nev. I was calling to speak a little bit about Summer League. I was there personally. Boy, Vegas is hot, boy. Oh, my gosh. Never experienced heat like that. But anyway, I was there for the Indiana game. It was a very entertaining game. I'll give them that. Noah Essen Gabriel fast. He looked good. He looked good. I will say the only thing that I've seen that maybe we have to, you know, monitor is, you know, his body language. You know, his body language sometimes a little kind of like Pat Williams-esque. But he definitely is more aggressive than Pat. I definitely feel like he's tall. Like, he looked taller than Modest. Modest is at 6'10". He looks a little like a clear inch taller than him. So that's interesting. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, that viral dunk, I witnessed that. That was crazy. I mean, Furphy, whoa, yes, he has some bounce to him. But I will also say with that, you know, Modest was, you know, he just didn't faze him, it felt like, which is good. He just has one of those kind of demeanors that feels like he's like, but he does try and work hard. So that's good. And he seems he's aggressive, and he, you know, he just was shooting them threes and going to the hole and not caring. But on the other hand, Modest, boy, he's like the polar opposite. He was just yapping, and he was just into it. And I don't know, Furky did something to him on one side, and on the other side, I think he got like a dunk on Furky, and he was just yapping at him like talking mad smack. So I like that. I like that from Modest. So he looked good too. And then the Yugi, real fast with him. I think it's like a situation with Scottie Pippen Jr. They kind of have a similar thing going on with them. So Memphis, you know, has Scottie Pippen Jr.'s rights now, and they kind of was like utilizing him like that. But Yuki has great vision. It's just his size. I don't even know if he's 5'8", but either way, his size is the only thing. But he has elite, and I didn't say elite, but an NBA level vision. So I think that's something that we could work on. I like Young. He kind of reminds me like a poor man's Kobe White, poor man's lefty, poor man's Kobe White. So I like him too. So the odd man out got to be Miller. So, and he didn't show nothing. He was there, but he didn't show nothing. So, I mean, you kind of can't yet let Yugi go, but the only fear is that another team maybe would take him that's maybe, you know, up against the luxury tax and he's a point guard. But anyway, though, I like the team. I like Noah, what I saw, and I like Yugi. So I just wanted to let you guys know I was there. Go Bulls.
His demeanor. I love, like, he does have, when he's off the court, this kind of passive nature, and it seems like he's just aloof. But when he's on that basketball court, it's a little bit different, right? And I think that's the thing. Like, there are a lot of people who when they're off the basketball court, are kind of just, all right, cool. It is what it is. I've never judged, like, P. Will, for example, on his demeanor off the court. The problem with P. Will is that demeanor carries on to the court, right? Noah Essanay doesn't seem to have that problem. It seems like he's a guy, like, you saw it. He talked about it after game one. He needed to be better. And every game that he played after that first summer league game, he was more locked in. He was more aggressive. He attacked. Now, it's easier to do that against summer league level competition. And that's just me being fair. But let's see what he does when he's against actual NBA guys. And that's why I think training camp is going to be really important. If Noah Essanay comes into training camp with the right mindset, we already know at least he has the defensive skill, the rim running and shot blocking. If he comes into that right mindset, I would not be surprised if he starts leapfrogging some guys in the rotation. And I wouldn't be mad at that. Now, as far as Modest absolutely was locked in, as he should be. The player that Modest Bouzelis has shown himself to be, the player that he has the potential to be as well as he continues to develop, you should come into summer league and absolutely show it, right? And so, and Modest did that. This year, averaging, 22 points per game over summer league. Shout out to Modest Bouzelis there. Now, as far as Yuki, I can't really say much else about Yuki Carmore. He's a dog. And the playmaking that he brings, despite his size and his height and all those type of things, he has next level court vision when he's on that court. And that's something that I'm glad that the Bulls decided to invest in. And so we'll see how it develops here for Chicago. All right, let's get into the next one, man. This next voicemail, this one's from Seoul.
What's good, Hayes? What's good, Chicago Bulls Central? This your boy Seoul, calling from the 419. Man, spooky times, man. Spooky times. That's all I got to say at the moment. This Josh Giddey thing is crazy. I know Josh Giddey looking like 20 million. Like, man, you gave Patrick Williams 18. I know I'm better than this bum, but that's another conversation. For me personally, I like the Josh Giddey, especially in the second half. From the beginning of the season, at first I wasn't in on him, but truthfully, I didn't realize his age. Once I realized his age, I was a little bit more with him. And then seeing him towards the end of the season, I was with that. As much as I like Josh Giddey, I love to see him back on the team, but if not, man, go ahead and start IO and keep it moving. Like you said, life goes on. We'll see what happens with that, I think we in a position where either way it goes, if it's, like they say, the Lowry marketing thing, when you go ahead and sign and trade, we'll see, And trust me, I like Josh Giddey on this team, but man, like you said, life goes on, I guess the second thing I want to talk about is the Patrick Williams. I feel like when it comes with him, I'm kind of out on him, but maybe it's a couple things that made him not so good last year. Like everybody's saying, the foot injury that he had at the beginning of the year. And remember, he also put that extra weight on, I guess, to keep up with other power forwards and stuff like that. Maybe if he lose some of the weight and go back to his normal weight, and come in more healthier, hopefully he could be a little bit better this year. You know, we gave a lot of grace for some years to Coby White. Maybe we should try to do the same thing with Patrick Williams, but this will be the last year I would do that with him personally, like to see if he's going to do any type of steps. Because you look at Julian Phillips and Daylon Terry, yes, we don't know what type of players they're going to be, but still from, you know, their first year to come in, you see a difference. With Patrick Williams, it's like straight line. You see no difference on him from year to year. And that's crazy that two people that's under him that don't have defined roles, you could see a little improvement with them and not him. So we'll see this year. I give them that much grace. But to all you guys, man, go Bulls, see red. Talk to you next time. Peace, y'all. So
Giddey's contract is what it is at this point. The contract negotiations, they're going the way that they're going to go. It is what it is. I still think they're going to come out with the deal. Now, is that going to be a five-year deal? Is it going to be a three-year deal? That remains to be seen, but I think a deal is going to get done sooner rather than later, and I can't be mad at it if whatever that ends up being at this point. As far as P. Will putting on too much weight, I think there's something to that. While I'm not one to make excuses for P. Will, there are some reality-based things and some reasons for things. P. Will did put on a little bit too much weight, and it hurt the mobility. When you go back and look at P. Will year one and year two before the injury, you clearly saw a player that was more mobile, that moved around a little bit more, that glided around a little bit more. He got over screens easier. And as he put on more weight, that slowed him down a little bit. Now, that's not a fault for the mentality part of it, but I do think that there are some mobility things that definitely played into why that went the way that it did. I just think it is. And I think P. Will's going to have to lock in, though, regardless. Whatever his weight is, whatever it is, he's going to have to really lock in. The Bulls keep adding more dogs behind him that are coming for that spot. And the minutes go down and down for him every time. So we'll see what P. Will can do. And here's the thing. I know I talked about it at the beginning of the show, and I talked about, you know, who's going to start at the three between Io, Herter, and Isaac Okoro. If P. Will actually comes into training camp locked in, I could completely see P. Will starting at the three next to Matis Bouzelis. But again, as I've said, I don't bet on that anymore because we haven't seen it. So I'm taking a wait-and-see approach. P. Will's going to have to show us. And I don't think that that's a bad thing to say that. So we'll see if he does this year. Hopefully he does, because the P. Will that actually shows up, could really change the direction a little bit. So we'll see. All right, let's get into this last voicemail, man. This one's from Michael Korn.
Hey, it's Michael Korn here. I hope you're doing well as your listeners, doing great. Just heard your pod dropping news that the Bulls signed Yuki. All right, man. I'm stoked. Impressed. Could be AK's first time. He's not so tone deaf. Listen, as Bulls fans, basketball fans, you got to appreciate someone who can pass this the way this dude passes. I'm not going to go crazy and go, reminds me of Pete Maravich. No, but just like always drawn to players to watch who can do great stuff with the basketball in their hands, man. Great passers are a real treat to watch as a fan. And by the way, I'm just thinking about some of the merch, some great anime style work on some t-shirts with Yuki on it. So, but from a basketball perspective, we're like, hey, what is it really worthwhile to have a guy on the team like this? You've mentioned a couple reasons as far as developing, you know, him assisting in the development of, you know, players like Noah, et cetera. But I'm also thinking why he deserves a shot is he could really change the game in that, like, how does opposing team game plan for him? Because just watching him, like, how do you keep up with him? How do you defense against him? Like, in play a basketball, yeah, you blitz him. I mean, he's small, yeah. But in general, you know, like a stint every game where he comes in, whether the Bulls are down or up, he brings the kind of energy that could really benefit the team. Again, because like, how do you actually guard him? Throwing a different look, in a game is a great way of making adjustments. And he definitely brings a new, you know, he brings a different look to the game. Anyway, man, I'm stoked as a Bulls fan. We'll see what happens. Enjoying the weekend. Thanks a lot, man. Bye.
Yuki's I can't say nothing else about Yuki. You hit it spot on. Like, you, what Yuki's bringing here, I think when you look at it in reality, of course, there are some people that are looking at it like, oh my God, he's going to replace Giddey. We don't, like, there's one guy in the comment section. It's like, oh, we now have our offensive identity. We have Yuki Kawamura. It's like, come on, fam. Like, let's be a little bit more realistic, fam. Like, but you know what? If people are excited. Can't be mad at people being excited about a Bull signing. You know, people, like, Bulls fans have the right to hang on to whatever makes them excited. And Yuki Kawamura is somebody to get excited about in reality, though, in context of what he's going to bring. But him, Lachlan Albrecht, Noah Essengay, when he's going to be playing down there, even Javon Freeman Liberty being back, like, the Bulls are going to have themselves a nice little G League team. And, you know, I watch the G League all the time, so I can't wait for that to start up. And, you know, we'll be here covering it because nobody else really covers Bulls G League, even when players that are actually part of the Bulls future are down there doing things. We do here. So we'll be covering it. But that's my time for today, guys. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Make sure you guys are following us at Bulls Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns from bullscentralpod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that is thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you right if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.